If you'd like to email a comment or question to Dr. DeSilva, email to drd@healthradio.net. That's drd@healthradio.net. You're listening to Health Radio.
Health Radio.
Ask Dr. DeSilva on Health Radio. And now, here's Dr. Derek DeSilva.
Well, hello, folks, once again. Thank you for joining us. Great to have you with me. As always, it is a pleasure. Health Radio at healthradio.net is where you're at. Joining me right now. And this is a very, very, very important issue, folks. This has personally affected my mother, my mother-in-law, and now two sister-in-laws in my family, and that is breast cancer. Dr. Joel Arnowitz. Dr. Arnowitz is a prominent Los Angeles cosmetic surgeon in practice for more than 20 years. He serves as a chief of the Division of Plastic Surgery at, is it Cedars-Sinai, Dr. Arnowitz, that you're at?
Yes.
At Cedars-Sinai, Dr. Arnowitz is also the founder of the Breast Preservation Foundation. Dr. Arnowitz, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
It's my pleasure.
Tell me a little bit about the Breast Preservation Foundation. What is that about?
The Breast Preservation Foundation arose out of our observation and a study that we did about a year ago that demonstrated that skin-sparing mastectomies, which are mastectomies that reduce the deformity of the mastectomy, are basically very much underutilized. Mm-hmm. So many women continue to have the straight across the chest transverse mastectomy, and although in some cases it's still necessary, generally speaking it's not necessary to do that type of mastectomy in order to remove the breast cancer. And as a result, the reconstruction that plastic surgeons can do is much more limited, and the result looks much more like a reconstructed breast instead of a breast that looks like the woman's original breast or better.
Mm-hmm. What? I mean, it's obvious. The answer, I think, to this question is obvious to me. Is what prompted this whole thing with you?
What prompted me was the frustration that I think a lot of plastic surgeons feel, which is that when we are called into a breast cancer case, we're usually called in after the fact, after the lumpectomy or the biopsy or even the mastectomy is performed. And then, although we have some marvelous techniques and a lot of progress has been made in reconstructive techniques using implants, using the woman's own tissue transferred from other parts of the body, some really technically wonderful things, our ultimate result is very much limited by how the mastectomy was done.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that frustration...
So it's kind of an after the event type thing, as you just said, and you know, you kind of throw your hands up and say, geez, you know, why don't you call me sooner?
Exactly. Exactly. And the plastic surgery profession is, by and large, very innovative, very in tune to the demands of the patients. And I think that other parts of the medical profession, especially those that treat life-threatening cancers, are relatively conservative and not very prone to change.
Mm-hmm. What about breast cancer? I mean, we're doing the early diagnostics today. Women are aware of it. You know, my own sister-in-law right now is probably going to have a mastectomy. Should I say to her, get a plastic surgeon involved before you do this?
Well, it's what I would recommend for, God forbid, my wife. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to see the reconstructive surgeon after the fact. And it also makes a lot of sense to discuss the cosmetic outcome of the surgery with the surgeon, with the extirpative or the general surgeon or the breast surgeon ahead of time, because especially early breast cancers, we're counting on the woman living a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And even if the woman isn't going to live a long time, why should she live a life with a breast that's deformed unnecessarily?
Mm-hmm.
The cosmetic outcome of the operation should be a consideration, especially if there's no detrimental effect to the treatment of the cancer,
right,
which is the case. That's been pretty well demonstrated over the last 15 years.
You know, what's very interesting with this whole thing, Dr. Arnowitz, is that my mother, who's now 74, so almost 20 years ago, had breast cancer, had a mastectomy. Small breasts. She's not, you know, not this big, huge lady. She's a little tiny lady, and had a mastectomy. And I said to her at the time, "Mom, you're 56 years old. I had just finished my internal medicine residency training and all that stuff. And, you know, she was at our hospital. I said, "Mom, why don't you talk to the plastic surgeon, you know, before we do this whole thing?" Just intuitively, I said that to her. She had, and I don't know if they do this today, help me out with this. I said to her, "When you go in and have your mastectomy, why don't you just have the reconstruction done at the same time?" And that's exactly what she had done. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. And even getting immediate reconstruction done, getting that accepted was a struggle, and was basically because people like your mother demanded it. So many of the advances in breast cancer surgery have been because of the demand of the patient, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very forward-thinking of you to bring that up to her, because back in those days it was just starting to be accepted. And oddly enough, if it hadn't been for the invention of the breast implant in 1960, we probably still wouldn't have breast reconstruction, because that's what allowed those early cases to be done.
Right. Right. And actually, what my mother had done was that she had a teeny bit of belly fat, and she did not have very large breasts, so they were able to take some of the belly fat and tunnel it and move it up to the breast and reconstruct. I mean, it was amazing what was done.
That was probably, she was one of the earliest to be done in this country using, that's called a TRAM, or tram flap.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the better ways to do a breast reconstruction. Then you don't even need an implant. It's a bit of an operation, as your mom found out, but it's that way the breast tissue is replaced by fat from the tummy that can't become cancerous. The important part, though, is that if the skin is removed from the breast with a big slash across the chest transversely, then the ultimate result will look like a patchwork from the skin from the tummy.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're advocating is whether you replace that breast tissue with an implant or you replace it with fat from the tummy or the back or wherever, that the skin remain intact so that the skin of the breast looks normal.
Huh.
And the woman can wear a dress or wear a bathing suit and not have this horrible cut that goes from sternum on one side to the other side.
Right, right, right. Actually, this is very interesting that you just said that. I have a patient who came in to see me the other day, seen me for a long time. She had a partial, she had a mass in her liver, had it removed, goodness gracious, probably 15, 20 years ago, maybe more, and has this horrible scar from right below her breastbone all the way around to both sides below her diaphragm. And I said, "My God, what were they thinking?"
Right. Well, they were thinking about the liver tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that kind of exposure is necessary even today with, you know, modern techniques of laparoscopic surgery and minimally invasive surgery. But in breast surgery, it's by and large not necessary if you take the time and effort to use minimally invasive or skin-sparing techniques.
So I guess the message here, Dr. Aronowitz,
Aronowitz.
The message here for the ladies and for the men that are listening is, when you go and, God forbid, you need to have a breast procedure done, mastectomy, whatever, make sure that you speak with a plastic surgeon also before the surgery is done. Is that correct?
Yes, and I would advocate for even having that discussion even before the biopsy is done, because where the biopsy is done can dictate where the additional incisions are made.
Uh-huh.
And I think women shouldn't feel guilty to be concerned about the appearance of the breast, because at the same time they're being evaluated for possible breast cancer.
What do you mean by feeling guilty? I mean, I don't see any issue with that at all.
Well, women do. They feel as though, I just want to live to raise my children. I can't afford to be concerned about how I look. I need to worry about the big C here.
Well, those are Jewish and Catholic women.
That's everybody. I mean, it's a very common thing, because it's sort of how our profession looks at it, is that that we need to be concerned about cancer. It's cancer. It could kill us, for crying out loud. We can't worry. We can't afford to be worried about the appearance. And the reality is that the appearance has a big role in the quality of life for
sure.
a woman.
Absolutely. Hey, Dr. Aronowitz, thank you so much for joining us. Excellent.
Well,
by the way, website, breastpreservation.org.
www.breastpreservationfoundation.org.
Okay, breastpreservationfoundation.org. Is the website to check out more information. And thank you so much for joining us. Excellent, excellent information.
Thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure. Have a great day. Once again, folks, www.breastpreservationfoundation.org is the website. Thank you for joining me. Have a great day. God bless you all. Until next time, I'm Dr. Derek DeSilva. May you always be blessed with good health.